I forgot to mention that. I forgot to mention that all of the contributions that go in that can go to a really special place, and that's the Southern Christian Home in Morrilton, Arkansas. And I've had the privilege to be around quite a bit of those kids, and they've all got wonderful hearts, and it's really good to see a smile on their face. So I'm really glad that we can help them out in any way that we can. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. "For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life."
Confused. This is multiply, and the clarity disappears. And people keep speaking while drifting further away from the truth. And a confused life doesn't feel dangerous until it's too late to correct it. But God clarifies, because this is what he walks into in Acts chapter 2. Humanity has chosen its own voice over God's. But God didn't leave the world in confusion. He stepped in and brought focus to the message. Different languages, different voices. Each one hearing in his own language. Why? Because the devil, God disrupted the people who landed in exalting themselves, but through Jesus Christ, he invites the people who exalt him. He's making the truth unmistakable and accountability unavoidable. Jesus is Lord. Acts 2:37 says they were cut to the heart. This wasn't casual. It wasn't curiosity. This is conviction. They realized we're not right with God. And if heart is truly cut, it doesn't ask what's comfortable. It asks, what shall we do? So, when the truth is found clearly, it demands more than agreement. Amen? It demands a response. Repent and be baptized. Repentance is not just an emotion. It's surrender. My life is no longer mine. Baptism is not a moment you just complete in your life. It's the entrance to a lifelong walk with Jesus Christ. Romans 6:4 doesn't stop on burial. It ends with, so that we too may walk in the newness of life. That's the goal. That's the expectation. That's the evidence. Now, this is where it starts to get personal. Because now the question is no longer, the question is no longer, do I understand? Now the question becomes, what will I do with what I understand? At Babel, the truth was resisted. At Pentecost, the truth was revealed. Now here's what you can't escape. What happens when God reveals the fullness of his message and you still don't surrender to it? That's not confusion. That's resistance. We are buried with him. What actually happens in baptism? Buried. And then something has ended. Church, God doesn't call you to the water to get wet. He called you to the water and grave to die. And what is this? Because this is not just a symbol. This is the moment God removes your sins and he drives you to a life with Jesus Christ. This is where death happens and new life begins. The old life, the old authority, the old direction. So if the old man was buried, why are you still making the decisions? Because hear this. If nothing was buried, nothing was raised. Empty tomb. The only empty burial ground should be the Savior's. We need to leave our old life behind and stop visiting the grave. So this is not the gospel, but the life hasn't followed. Not because we don't know the truth, but because we don't face the need to it. We can walk on that water and still be walking in the same sin. Baptism without surrender is just wet confession. Not because you failed, but because you truly never let go. God didn't give you baptism to cover an unchanged heart. He gave it to begin a new life. You don't follow Jesus by visiting the water and returning to the grave. What was born with Christ was never meant to be revisited. Let it go. But don't misunderstand. This isn't about perfection. with a changed heart will change its direction. Some of you might get that in the parking lot. I'll make it easier. It's not about perfection. It is about direction. A surrendered life will still fight sin. Amen? We don't have a perfect individual in this congregation right now, do we? No. But it no longer makes peace with sin. The struggle is real. And Romans 6:4 still stands. You can't hold on to your old life and expect a new one. If nothing died, nothing was raised. Now, this is where it stops being theoretical and it starts to be more about us as individuals. And now it's easy to hear something like this and you think about something else. But this moment, today, it's not about somebody else. It's about you. It's about us as individuals. You're hearing this now. Not eventually. You're hearing it now. God, in His mercy, has given you this moment. And you're not promised another. So answer this honestly. What changed? Not what you intend to change, but really changed. Do you walk different? Do you talk different? Are you involved in different activities? Because if the gospel is real, it doesn't leave your life untouched. Have you been living off a moment while your life stayed the same? See, we don't earn God's favor by our intentions. But your intentions will reveal when you're loyal to your eyes. So ask yourself, did the oil actually dry, or did you get wet? But this is a little heart check. Priority versus presence. We're going to be honest here, church. We often celebrate that number right there. By now, last week, 216. Attendance today, 226. You see that number fluctuates up and down? We celebrate that number. But where is the church beyond Sunday morning? Where is that number come Monday, Tuesday? A portion of them here on Wednesday. What about Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Where's the church going to be at tonight as we fellowship and have folks? I've got enough for 100, 120. One less just down the road. We're not asking to count numbers. Don't get me wrong. That's a big misconception. I'm asking because it reveals something deeper. Because when Jesus is real, he doesn't just get the most convenient parts of life. This goes deeper than attendance and involvement. This is about what has your heart. A surrendered heart doesn't just show up, it shows devotion. If Jesus is Lord, why does he come second? And really, for some of you, it's not about drifting. Maybe it's about deciding. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet. So, for those who haven't responded yet, I want to speak to you for a moment. Not to pressure you, but to be open and upfront with you. You're not waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. Because God has always spoken through His Word, through the Gospel, through the cross, through His Son. God has already made His will known. He's already told you what He wants for you. question is not, will I understand God later? The question is, will I surrender now? Will I surrender today to the truth of God's will, His promise, His love, His mercy, His grace, His Son, Jesus Christ? Will you surrender to that today? And hear this carefully. God's not asking you to fix your life before you come to the water. He's calling you to give Him your life before it's too late. And life means death to the old life, the comfortable life, the life of thrills. We have a good time here at the church, don't we? Amen. So you got to let that old life go. Welcome to His nearness. Because it means something greater. It means forgiveness. It means freedom. It means newness. It means a new family. This is not something to be afraid of. It's just something beautiful to step into. So what does a surrendered life look like? You stop negotiating with sin. You stop explaining it away. And you start putting it to death. Jesus becomes the definition of your life. Acts 2:32. They devoted themselves. Not occasionally, not when it was convenient, they devoted themselves. It's not about attendance, it's about allegiance. It's not interest, it's surrender. And you don't visit devotion. You live it. Because a changed heart doesn't check in with God. It belongs to Him. To the life that follows. We call that discipleship. Do we get that right all the time? Nobody wants to answer. No, we don't. We don't. We do not get discipleship right. If there's something that we need to keep on working on, it's discipleship. Everyone here is charged with discipleship. The mission is yours. Jesus said, go and therefore make disciples, baptizing them. Does it end there? No. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Which means baptism was never meant to be the end. It's the beginning of life that learns to serve and obey. Because when life is truly surrendered, it doesn't drift aimlessly through life's activities. It moves with purpose. It moves under authority. It moves in obedience. Not because it has to, but because it wants to. It walks where Christ leads. It speaks what Christ commands. It turns from what Christ died for. It's not wandering and wondering anymore. It's following. Because a surrendered life is not just change in alignment. It's directed by every step after it towards Christ. It does the running. But the same obedience is the evidence of surrender. And Scripture is the oldest guesser. Scripture speaks plainly. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he continues to say something that should stop us in our tracks. Otherwise, you are deceiving yourself. It's not something else deceiving you. It's not the adversary deceiving you. It's you. The person that you look at in the mirror every day will deceive you. Well, I think it's possible, but in Luke 4:5-6, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? See, family, that's confrontation. And I felt that before I ever brought this message to you. which means it's possible to hear everything right, to respond outwardly, and still be wrong with God. Because self-deception feels like peace until it's confronted by truth. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. But now you're not reading with more clarity. You're standing in it. Just you and God. Not venturing now. It's not a moment to prepare for. This will be the moment you will answer to. This is the decision you need to make today. And what it's going to look like after. And what you do with this moment will reveal more than what you believe. It will reveal who your Lord is. So here's my final plea. If Jesus is Lord, then your life belongs to him. If your life does not belong to the Lord, he is not your Lord. And hear this clearly. He didn't give his life so you could stay the same. This right here is not merely symbolic. A lamb actually died to represent this. And he did something so you didn't have to. He overcame sin. He overcame death. And through him, you can do the same thing. Jesus died on that cruel cross. He saved you from that. For you. So this isn't just a call to die, it's a call to respond to what he's already done. So the answer is no. Today you can do that. Today you can surrender to the truth. Not for an improved version of you. This isn't self-improvement. It's the end of the old you and the beginning of the new you. Because baptism is when you prove something, it's when you die to something. Scripture is already spoken. But do you not know that all those who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? And there's coming a day where you will stand before God. There is coming a day where you will stand at the judgment seat. And on that day, there's going to be any confusion. There's not going to be any second chances. Only truth. And where you stand with him. And the question is not going to be, did you get wet? Or did you die? If you haven't, if your life is not his, today you can make it his. Today, you could make Jesus Christ your Lord. It's not about having all the answers. It's about being aware to the one who does. It's about being a part of something new. Is this Christian life hard? Yeah, it is. But you got a family here who's going to encourage and support you. So today, make it his. You don't have to stay in your struggle. You don't have to stay in your sadness. You don't have to stay in your depression. You don't have to stay in the death of your life. You don't have to stay in the struggles of your family. You don't have to stay who you are right now. You don't have to stay in the misconception of those who have gone and have moved on. Today, it's about you and God. That's it. No one else is involved in the conversation that you and God are going to have at the end of this life. So today, die to yourself and be made new. So come by so that in Christ you can truly live.